people joining us later on YouTube, good morning. It's 10:30 a.m. Sunday, May 22nd, and we are broadcasting live. We are here in an empty auditorium here at Victory Church. And welcome. Give everybody around you a fist bump. Yeah, yeah, greet your neighbor. Give me a fist bump. Come on. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Loving you guys' pajamas. You got some nice pajamas out there. I see them. Brenda, you brought your A game. Like the rabbit ears, the big feet. Very cool. You have time to phone a friend. Tell them to tune in. Facebook Live. Later this afternoon, it'll be up on YouTube. And on the Facebook Live, you can comment. We had a lot of people commenting last week. Yeah, that's an interesting new dimension since we've gone online last week and this week, of course, because of the coronavirus. But you can make comments to each other, so that can be a lot of fun. Also, you have sermon notes available on the website. Now, hopefully everybody in the church knows about our website, but if you don't, victorychurchgainesville.com, victorychurchgainesville.com. And if you go to the media section and pick today's sermon, click on it, there'll be a little PDF logo. You can download the sermon notes for this morning's message. Small groups will be online this week. We're doing what we can to reduce the spread of the virus, following CDC guidelines, as you all know. So check with your small group leader how they're going to do that. Also, one more announcement. This week on Wednesday, so this is for our local people here, Wednesday, March 25th, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, there's going to be a Farm Share Community Relief Day right here in Gainesville at the Martin Luther King Jr. Multi-Purpose Building parking lot, okay? And what we're going to do, if you want to help, contact the office. If you need help, go to the event. We're going to have some stuff up on the website probably tomorrow or Tuesday, more information on this. This is something that was just put together by the Christian Pastors Association here locally. So what we're going to do is have food, bags of food available. People are going to drive up. We're going to stick the bag in their trunk, and they're going to drive off, okay? If you'd like to help or if you need help, we'll give you more information on that. All right, so let's get into our message for today. Let's just pray. Father, bless this time. Bless this message. Help it encourage every one of us. Use it for your glory in Jesus' name. I want to talk about peace in trying times. These are trying times. Have you heard that? Have you heard that? Well, yeah, this is unprecedented, isn't it, what's going on right now? Everybody knows about the coronavirus, the social distancing. Cities are on lockdown. Some states are on lockdown. And we want to address that spiritually. We want to be aware. We want to be careful. We want to heed the advice. We want to follow the rules. But we don't want to be afraid. I mean, this is a very real threat. Things are happening. If you missed the last 2 weeks' messages, I encourage you to go back. 2 weeks ago, I did God's protection. Very important in this season that I think you should be reading Psalm 91 every day, meditating on it, thinking about it. I got up this morning, going through it in my head, verse by verse, laying in bed before I got up, Psalm 91. Because the more you watch the news, it has a tendency, we want to know what's going on. But it also can bring fear in your heart. So you have to balance however much time you spend watching the news, spend that much time in the Word of God so that you're not fearful. Do the right thing, social distance, protect yourself, good idea. Stay in the Word, stay in prayer, build your faith. Don't react in fear, don't get in panic, because that will not be good. You can take precautions without panicking. And I've heard this term, these are trying times. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean, trying times? What is it trying? Well, from our perspective today, I want to talk about how it tries our faith. Because if our faith is strong, it tries our patience, it tries our joy, it tries our finances. But I want to talk about if we can keep our faith strong, we can get through this trial. We're being tried. We're being tested. I believe we're going to come out the other side of this stronger, every one of you. That's what I want to talk about today. It tries our faith, and it's going to find out if our faith is going to hold or break. It reminds me of high school, a physics class I had right down the street here in Gainesville High School, best high school in the world, as you all know. And I think it was in 1972. I think it was my senior year, physics class with J.T. Cooper, and me and my brother Vince were in that class, and Mike McKee and Bill Leonard, the four of us. They divided the class into groups, and they gave you a box of popsicle sticks and a bottle of glue. And you were supposed to make a bridge out of those popsicle sticks and that bottle of glue. And when you got done, we all got done, each had the team. When all the teams got done, we set our bridges up. And Mr. Cooper came with some weights and started adding weights 1 ounce at a time until your bridge broke. And whoever had the strongest bridge won the contest. I don't know what the reward was. But I think about that sometimes as stuff gets put on our faith, and more gets put on our faith, and more gets put, and probably a lot of us, even before this virus started, we might have felt just in the challenges of everyday life that, you know, my faith was near the breaking point. And then this gets added to it. It's like he's adding an ounce, and then all of a sudden you put a 5-pound weight on it. I feel like that's kind of like what this virus did to all of us. It just put a 5-pound weight on our bridge of faith. So I want to talk today about what we can do to strengthen our bridge, strengthen our faith, because you can strengthen your faith, and there's certain things that we can do unwittingly that actually weaken our faith. So we need to learn how to feed our faith and make it stronger. Faith is really not like a popsicle stick bridge. It's more like a muscle, if you want to have an analogy. So a muscle can be small, muscle can be big. Anybody could make their muscles bigger and stronger by doing two things: feeding them and working them. So that's what I want to talk about today. How do you feed your faith? You feed your faith the Word of God, and then you act on it. That's what makes it stronger. So the question for every one of us in this trial is, do we trust God? Do we believe His Word? Well, if I'm not reading the Word, then I don't know what to believe. So that's why I say you need to read the Word. As much as you listen to the news, listen to God, listen to His Word. Feed your faith and then act on it. How do you act on it? I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to let fear get a hold of me. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. You believe in God, believe in me. John 14:1. So the question in our mind is God going to take care of us? When all this stuff happens and all this news and the reality of all this starts coming out, the facts and figures, the question is God going to take care of us? What do you think? What do you think in your head? Is God going to take care of you? See, that makes a difference on how you react to what's going on in the world. What are you thinking? Are you thinking God's going to take care of me? Or are you thinking I'm in this by myself? I'm all on my own. You are not all on your own. God's got you. The virus is trying all of our faith, each of our faith. In times of great trial, some people break. They crack. I've felt that way. I've cried to God before the virus. I can't take any more, Lord. I just can't. But you know what? I found out that God will never test you beyond what you can handle. I want to tell you today, and I want to encourage you with the things that we talk about today, that you've got what it takes to make it through this trial. I'm proclaiming and professing and declaring over you right now, you're going to make it. You're going to make it through this trial. God's going to protect you. You're going to help other people. You're going to come out stronger because you've got what it takes on the inside of you. It's down on the inside of you because God put it there. God put everything you need on the inside of you, just like He did with David, just like He did with Daniel, just like He did with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. God puts in you what you need. God saw this thing coming from thousands of years ago, and before He created you, He designed you and put in you what you needed to make it through this trial. So He'll never test you beyond what you can handle. We're under pressure. That's what it does. It puts pressure on us, right? We're being pressured. Do you know that pressure has the ability to take a piece of coal and turn it into a diamond? But if the coal doesn't have the right ingredients, it will just crush it and turn it to powder. What I'm saying today is that I believe God's put the ingredients on the inside of you, that this pressure is not going to crush you and turn you to powder. It's going to come out a diamond on the other side. You're a diamond that's going through the necessary process to shine and have the facets and to reflect the glory of God. So I'm declaring over you that this virus, this event in our world is not going to crush you. It's going to perfect you, and it's going to make you better. Don't crack. Run to God. Four things you can do now to strengthen your faith. I want to give you four things. Number one, you can pray. What is prayer? It's talking to God. And if you've ever talked to somebody, it's nice if they listen too, right? So don't just talk to God, listen. Talk to God. Tell him what's on your heart. Tell him everything. He already knows it. Be honest with God. If you're mad, tell him. Tell God. But then listen. A good prayer is not only talking, it's listening. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit later about something that we're joining as a church, a global prayer initiative that churches, all, as far as I can tell, it looks like all kinds of denominations are joining. It's called Unite 714. It's about 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that at the end. As we give you information, that's another thing you can do related to the first thing that I'm giving you, prayer. We're going to pray together. To me, God's going to get glory out of this thing. God's going to use what Satan meant for evil and use it for good. I see our nation coming together in ways that I haven't seen in recent history. In prayer, the president declared last week a national day of prayer. I'm declaring today another national day of prayer. He's actually asked people to pray every day. Now we've got this global initiative. There are people all over the world are going to pray together over the internet. We're going to give you more information on the website. I'm going to mention the website a lot today because we can't get together in person, so we're going to stay connected. We may have some social distancing, but spiritually we're going to stay connected. Amen. So on the website, there's going to be more information about Unite 714. So the first thing you can do is pray. It's going to make it simple today. This is the reality of how it works and how to stay safe in an unsafe world, how to have peace in trying times. Number two, the second thing is Bible. Bible. God gave us the Bible on purpose. He knew we needed it. He knew we needed instructions. I like the acronym for Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions about life. And it covers everything. God knew everything that we were going to face down the road. And he put it in the Bible, something to strengthen you and encourage you. So run to the Bible. Scriptures feed your faith. We have by the front door always this, I call it biblical confessions. And it's a whole list of scriptures. It's probably about 10 pages of scriptures that I've accumulated over the last 40 years that I use this every morning. I don't read every one of them. It's divided into categories. But I've made that available on the website. If you go to the resource, again, the website, victorychurchgainesville.com, go to the resource page and then click on biblical confessions. You can print out this list of scriptures and feed your faith. Find scriptures that deal with what you're going through. There's scriptures on health. There's scriptures on prosperity. Maybe you're worried about your finances. Read those. There's scriptures on fear, victory. So it's divided into categories. Get that. Number one was pray. Number two is run to the Bible. Number three, the third thing we can do is gather online. This is a new thing. Normally I would say church, come to church, but we can't come to church. But we can still be the church, and we can gather online. Probably a word that I never heard until a few days ago, and you're going to hear a lot of, is Zoom. Zoom is a program, an app that you can put on your phone where you can gather with up to 300 people and interact. And so we actually had our lead team meeting last Wednesday on Zoom. Pastor Mike set it up. I'm going to have my small group this Wednesday night on Zoom. And so we're leaving it up to each small group leader to decide how they want to meet. But we can still gather online. Number four, give of yourself. Our faith always requires some kind of action. In fact, the Bible says faith without a corresponding action is dead. And the action in this time is we need to distance ourselves, and you may need to quarantine or isolate, but find a way to help somebody else in the midst of this trial. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So give of yourself. Give yourself to prayer. Let's join the global initiative and pray for Italy. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for other countries that have been affected. Pray for our nation. Give online. In fact, we need your faithful giving now more than ever. And it's important to always be a giver, and especially now because the Bible says give and it will be given unto you. God takes care of faithful givers. Also, on our website. This is a way to give. We've added a line on the drop-down menu on giving called COVID-19. And what this is that we've already had some opportunities in our church to help some people that are being affected by this. I'm going to tell you more about that at the end. So there's a link. This, find a way to give of yourself. In fact, Pastor Mike is heading up a COVID-19 response team that we just started. So there's three numbers now going to be up on your screen. Phone number, email address, and the web page. And I don't know if you noticed, I got some coffee today instead of water, because I figured you all are over there at home eating pancakes, drinking buttermilk, having a great time. I'm going to I'm joining with you here. Salute. Enjoy your buttermilk. I got my coffee. This is a different setting over here. All right. Pastor Mike is heading up a COVID-19 response team. Hey, this is a time for the church to be the church and help people. Throughout history, when plagues have hit the planet, Christians have been at the forefront of helping people. We're going to be no different this time. So you got the three ways to contact us. So three different things. If you need help, use one of those three avenues. Call, email, or go to the website. And the reason we have the website is there's a contact. You can contact us directly through the website. There's a place for prayer requests. So you can just write in there and tell us what you need. So the COVID-19 response team, headed up by our own Pastor Mike, who you can't see, but he's sitting here, and he looks really cool. He looks like a pilot. He's got these headphones on, and he's operating. He is how you're watching this live. He is amazing. And he is heading up the COVID-19 response team. So if you need help, you're shut in, and you don't want to go out, and you're running out of groceries, or you're running out of medicine, or you need something, you need someone to pray with you, contact us. So if you need help, also, if you'd like to help, and I mentioned this Thursday on my little video, and we've already had several people respond. I'm sure we're going to get more today. If you say, yeah, I'd like to find out a little bit more and see if I can do it. We're going to keep you safe. We're not going to ask you to go, you know, put yourself in harm's way. But you can probably go to the store, pick up some stuff, drop a box in front of somebody's door, text them, let them know it's there, help, you know. So we're going to be doing stuff like that. If you'd like to help, contact us through one of those three channels. Or if you just need prayer, this is overwhelming you and you need prayer, we're going to stay connected like that, right? Reach out to your small group leader. Reach out to the church. We can stay connected in prayer in other ways without being face-to-face. Pressure and adversity can push you in one of two different ways, away from God or towards God. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? Boy, we're facing unprecedented times, right? Uncertainty about our health, uncertainty about our finances, our job, our future, what's going to go on, loved ones. What's it going to do to you? Is it going to push you away from God or toward God? You know what? It's up to me and it's up to you which way it pushes us. Let it push you closer to God. Is it going to put you into fear or greatness? Great heroes come out of times of great adversity. We have all these great heroes. What we fail to realize is the reason they're a great hero is they face something very challenging and very difficult in their life. We have that opportunity before us right now as a nation and as a people and as a generation. What will the next generation say about how we responded to this challenge? Where do you run in times of testing? You run to the bottle, to the pill? You turn inward and get depressed? Do you panic? Or do you run to the Word? Do you run to the Holy Spirit? Do you run to the Father? Do you run to the people of God? Psalm 61:2 says this, "From the ends of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." When my heart is... Have you ever felt... Do you feel overwhelmed right now? I've felt overwhelmed before in my life. But thank God I have had it, the ability to know to run to God. That's the important thing. Where do you run in times of trouble? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. There's something bigger and better and greater than me and than this virus and on this planet. It's God. Let it push you to God. Psalm 56:3, the psalmist said, "When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in the Lord." What do you do? What will you do when you're afraid? We're all going to have opportunities to be afraid during this crisis that we're facing. Where does it push you? Where will you turn? What will you do? The psalmist said, when I'm afraid, I've already made up my mind. I will put my trust in God. And I find out is that when I think about it too much and I watch the news too much, stuff starts rolling in my head and I find myself making myself afraid. And I say, stop it, stop it, stop it. Oh, I'm going through Psalm 91 in my, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. That's me. That's me. And I start calming myself because my mind and my imagination can run amok with facts, and it's real, but there's something more real, and it's the protection and the power of God. So I started to say earlier, if you haven't watched 2 weeks ago, God's Protection, watch that, and last week, No Lack, watch that. All right. We're going to find out what we're made of. Francis Assisi, a lot of people call him Saint Francis, he said this, and I had a girl write it in calligraphy, and I have it on my wall for about the last 40 years. This has been something that I think about all the time. Here's his quote. Francis Assisi said, what a man is before God, that he is and no more. We're going to find out what we're made out of. We're going to find out if our Christianity is really real, if we're really standing on the word, or if it's just some social counterplay going on in our lives, and it's just a bunch of words. Is it real? Do I have a relationship with God? It's going to test our relationship with God. Let it drive you closer to God. What a man is before God, that he is, and nothing more. I love that saying. I think about it all the time. It really doesn't matter what people think about you, what people say about you. The only thing that matters is what God says about you. Live for God and him alone, for an audience of one. Hard times test what we're made of. And I just want to tell you, I know what you're made out of. You're made out of the Word of God. You're made out of the Spirit of God. You're made out of the regeneration power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm confessing and declaring that you're going to make it because you're made out of the right stuff. God's stuff. Good stuff. You have what it takes. God made you a no lack person. You do not lack what it takes. You have all the faith you need. You say, oh, other people have great faith. I don't know. You have all the faith you need. Jesus said if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could make it. All you got to do is use it. You got all the faith you need. Use it. Use it. Put the fears down. Put the doubts down. You have all the health that you need. I know the devil might be trying to steal it. Don't let him steal it. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy, but I'm come that you might have life and have it abundantly. You have all the wisdom that you need on the inside of you. It's in you because God's in you. 1 John 4:4 says this, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than the coronavirus. And all the fear that's going around, the greater one is on the inside of you. You're a world overcomer. You're a pandemic overcomer. A fear overcomer. A coronavirus overcomer. Know that you do not lack the ability not only to not fear, but you have the ability to help people in this time of crisis because you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and you have what it takes. You know, when David, King David, he wasn't always King David. One time he was just a shepherd boy, a young man. And when he saw Goliath, how did he see himself? Because I want to, how do you see yourself in light of this virus? Do you see the virus huge and big and you're just small and insignificant? Because that's what David saw in the natural. He saw a 10-foot tall, 800-pound warrior who could throw a spear that the tip of his spear weighed 16 pounds. Do the math and figure out this was a giant. It was a formidable opponent, such that King Saul and all the people, all the mighty men of Israel, were afraid to approach him. They wouldn't tackle him. They were afraid of him. Everybody was afraid of him. And here comes David, little shepherd boy David, a teenager, and he saw something on the inside of himself that nobody else saw. He didn't see that he was bigger. He didn't see that he was stronger, smarter, wiser, more accurate. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, and I come in the name of the Lord. He saw something on the inside of himself stronger than the biggest giant ever walked the planet. And I want to let you know you got something on the inside of you bigger than anything that can come on this planet. God on the inside of you. He saw himself a no-lack person. I want you to begin to see yourself that you do not lack anything. for the God who created this earth and saw this virus coming from thousands of years ago, when he formed you in your mother's womb, he put everything on the inside of you that you need to make it through this crisis. You do not lack. You have everything you need to come out of this the other side a hero. You do not lack what it takes to win this battle. David said in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd." See, that's what he related to. He was a shepherd, and he felt responsible for the sheep. And he said, "Well, the Lord is my shepherd. He's a better shepherd than I am, and I don't let something steal my sheep." And he said, "The Lord's my shepherd." And look with this from the New International. It says, "I lack nothing." That's how he conquered Goliath. I lack nothing. Why? Because the Lord's my shepherd. I want to tell you today, you lack nothing. You have everything that you need. God on the inside of you. He is your shepherd. You lack nothing. Take hold of it. Believe it. Run it over in your mind when fear, when thoughts of fear come, when you get worried. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I have everything I need. See yourself a no-lack person. Be a warrior. The size of your battle is an indication of the size of your future. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody today. It might be me. The size of your battle is an indication of the size of your future. The bigger the battle, the bigger the future. Goliath was big. Huh. He conquered him. And it determined his future. David conquered a big giant. Big giant, big future. Big problem, big future. Big virus, big future. Big things coming against you, trying to make you fear. When you conquer, big blessing on the other side. The bigger the battle, the bigger the party. The bigger the victory. The bigger the spoils. Yeah, I'm prophesying over our generation. We look back on my dad's generation. And he was born in the early 1900s. He went through the Great Depression and World War II. We've labeled that the Great Generation because of what they went through. I'm prophesying, I'm saying, we're going to be a great generation because of what we've gone through and how we believe, and how it's going to make us better. It's going to make us stronger. Goliath propelled David to be the king. The virus is going to propel you to victory. It's going to propel you to greatness because you're going to respond in the right way. It's going to propel you into your destiny, the destiny that has been eluding you and you've believed and hoped and dreamed. This very trial and test is going to bring stuff out of the inside of us that's going to allow us to receive the destiny that we have for our life. This challenge to our planet is going to propel you to victory and propel you into your future. The Great Depression hit our country in 1929. Black Monday, they called it. The stock market lost 90% of its value. You know what it did? It turned a lot of rich people into poor people. But something we don't always talk about, at the same time, it also turned a lot of poor people into rich people. It depended on how they responded to that. When I was in college studying business, I remember in economics class, we studied the Great Depression in America and what caused it and the effects of it. And I remember reading about this businessman. So this is in 1929. His business was worth $12 million. That's a lot of money going back over almost 100 years, right? But overnight, the value of his stock dropped. He lost $11 million in one night. The next morning, he went to his office. It was on the top of a building in New York. He opened the window and he jumped out and he killed himself. But his family took that $1 million and used it in a time of crisis and found out that actually, because of the Great Depression, that their business could do better if they retooled and changed a little bit. And by the end of the Depression, even though the country was in depression, his stock was worth $30 million. He gave up too soon. I want to tell you, don't give up too soon just because of what you see going on around you. Because at the same time the Great Depression took rich people and made it poor, it took poor people and made them rich. A lot of people gained their fortunes because they had a creative idea and it brought them into greatness. And what I'm saying is, maybe you've been struggling and now you look at this and saying, this is the end. Don't look at it that way. Say, maybe this is the beginning of my opportunity of greatness and God's going to use me to be a blessing to other people. Fortunes changed. It turned things around. This worldwide adversity is going to propel you into your destiny. God brought, think about this, God brought Goliath into David's life. Did you ever think about that? He brought Goliath into David's life. I don't think God caused this virus because God's not evil and he doesn't kill people. But he knew it was going to happen, and he wouldn't allow you to be here if he didn't know that you could make it through this. And what Satan, the Bible is famous for this saying, what Satan meant for evil, God used for good. You remember Joseph in the Bible? He had a dream. His brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. He was a slave that he was falsely accused, put into prison. He stayed in prison, and then one day he went from the prison to the palace and was the leader of Egypt. And then his brothers came to him because they needed food, and they thought, they said, for sure, now he's going to kill us, because they, on purpose, intentionally. And you know what he said? He said, don't worry, I'm not going to kill you, because what you meant for evil, God used it for good. And what Satan has meant for evil, God's going to use it for good. Cling to God. Hold on to God. So God brought Goliath into David's life, not to defeat him, but to promote him. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. It doesn't say he causes all things. He says he causes them to work together for good to those who, two things, love God and they're called according to his purpose. God saw all this ahead of time. He gave you everything you needed for this adversity. Psalm 37:18-19 says this. How's your buttermilk holding up? You need to go get some more buttermilk? I got enough coffee, so I'm okay. Go ahead, go get them. Hope you probably finish your pancakes by now, right? Okay, the Lord knows the days of the blameless. Their inheritance will be forever. Mm-hmm. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil. This is a time of evil. This is an evil plague running across. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they'll have an abundance. Why not hang on to that and saying, oh, this abundance is going to kill me? Why not say it's going to propel me to greatness? You know what? Abundance is your normal state as a believer in Jesus Christ. Strength in a time of fainting is your normal state. Joy is your normal state. Health is your normal state. Peace is your normal state. Devil's trying to steal it. Don't let him have it. Victory is your normal state. God made you an overcomer. He made you successful, happy, fulfilled, a winner, a giver, a masterpiece. You have everything you need to fulfill God's destiny for your life. In fact, you have a mission to fulfill. Matthew 10, verse 1, and then 7 and 8, Jesus sent his disciples out, just like he's sending every one of us out. And it says here, he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. I'm saying that to every one of us. Luke 10:19, Luke adds something to this same event right here. He said, behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means injure you. How do you see yourself? That's the question. Do you see yourself a no-lack person going to help others? I'm not telling you to do something foolish and to violate the guidelines, but there's ways that we can help people in this time of crisis. A lot of people are confused. They're hurting. They might need a phone call. They might need an email. They might need a prayer. But see yourself strong. See yourself valuable, talented, successful, protected, because that's how God sees you. You have everything you need to fulfill your mission in life, because you know what? You are a no-lack person. The power for you is greater than the power against you. Greater is he that is in you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Man, you say that. I can do all things. Whatever you're facing in the midst of this crisis, I can do it through, not because I'm so smart or I'm so great or I'm immune to the virus or I'm all that great. No, because of him who lives on the inside of me. And we need to start saying that to ourselves. I can do all things. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Do you love God? Are you following his leading in your life? God's got you covered. God's got you covered. You don't need to be afraid. He said he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called to his purpose. He's gonna work this out for your good. Do you love God? Are you following his leading? And he's got you covered. He's going to cause all this to turn out for your good. Listen, you're ready for this. God's been preparing you. You know, some of the junk, the crud, the hard times you've been through has been toughening you and teaching you to go to God and strengthening your faith. He's prepared you. He has faith in you. He knows you're going to make it. God has confidence in you. God has faith in you. He wouldn't allow you to be alive going through this if he didn't know that you could make it, that you could turn to him, that you could run to him, and you could, you're an overcomer. All the stuff you've been through has prepared you for this day. He's prepared you for victory. He's prepared you to help somebody else. You know what? You're going to slay this giant. You're going to come out victorious, praising God, giving God all the glory, better and stronger, more equipped to help others. Your enemies make you stronger. Your challenges make you stronger. You were born for such a time as this. You're going to make it. You're going to help someone else make it. You have what it takes because you're a no-lack person. You're a no-lack person. I want to proclaim that and confess that over you. Go to the Word of God. Reach out to the church. Let's pray together. Reach out to someone. There's probably someone in your life. Maybe they don't know how to pray. They don't know how to read the Bible. Somebody in your life that you can reach out to and encourage. Right now, I want us to join together. The president asked us to pray. That's just a wise thing to do, right? I love this new prayer initiative, Unite 714, where the country is going to come together. I mean, the globe is going to come together and pray. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to join our faith. We're going to pray against this thing. Father in heaven, you said, if any two agree on earth as touching any one thing, it shall be granted by our Father who's in heaven. We ask you to release your healing power into every person that has the coronavirus. We speak to the virus to die, command it to die, dissipate, disappear, leave people's body. Nullify its effect right now, we pray in Jesus' name. I pray over everybody in Victory Church and everybody that's watching. I pray your covering, your protection. You said you'd give angels charge concerning us to guard us in all our ways. They'd bear us up in their hand. I speak angelic protection over God's people to insulate them and cover them and protect them from evil. Protect them from this virus. Cause it to die when it touches their body. We curse it in our country. We ask you to bring revival because of this. Cause it to suddenly die, that they say, where did it go? How did it disappear? Prayer changes things. We agree together right now in prayer. Release your power. Cover your people. Take away the fear. Bring unity like we've never seen before. Let cause this to bring our country together instead of how it's been going, where we're growing apart. And we just pray that and we agree that in Jesus' name. And right now, I just want to ask you a very important question. Everybody that's out there, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, we might as well plan on it. Everyone is going to die. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And you might be watching, you go, well, I don't know. I think so, hope so, not sure. Does anybody really know for sure? Well, first of all, it's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. And secondly, yes, you can know that you have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. I've written that you may know that you have eternal life. And you say, well, how do you get that? You know, in John chapter 3, somebody asked Jesus that. So how do I get eternal life? Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. He didn't say, do this, do that, you know, action, go to church, read your Bible. He said, you have to be born again. What does that mean? That means it just is a time in your heart, in your mind, where you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins, and and that's it. He comes, he lives on the inside of you, makes you a new. That's how simple it is. Maybe we've overcomplicated it. It's not complicated. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus, Lord, thou shalt be saved. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're watching right now. And I want to lead you in a prayer. You're probably ready to do that. That's all you have to do is pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. And wherever you lead me, I'll follow from this day forever, evermore. Right now, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Well, y'all can go ahead and give God praise right there in your pajamas. Watch out for your buttermilk. I believe people prayed that prayer. We're going to share this with other people. So, man, I know it's trying times, but it's also lots of opportunities. If you prayed that prayer with me just now to give your life to Christ, go to that website. We've already put it up a few times. And there's a place on there that says share your story. You share your story. You tell us that you prayed that prayer today. I got some materials I want to send you free of charge. We're going to send you in the mail. We'd love to pray for you. So Unite 714, I talked about it earlier. It's a global initiative. It goes from 2 Chronicles 714, which says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. That's a verse for today, isn't it? Heal our land. So early this week, we're going to have information on there, how we can join together remotely from the internet and pray. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings like we do every week, except you're not here. So right now, our heroes from last week were people who set up recurring giving on the website. Because we weren't here, about half of our people give physically, and about half give online. So our offering last week was half. So we want to be here when the virus is over and we all come back. We still want to be here, which means we got to pay the rent, pay the electric, pay our salaries and all that. So we need you to go online and set up recurring giving. I didn't do it. I bring my check to church. But yesterday I said, how hard can this be? And I did it. I figured it out. And it probably took me about 2 minutes. And I set up recurring giving. It's really simple. You pick the frequency, once a month, once a week, pick a day, pick an amount, you know, the category you want it to go to, boom, it's done. It's pretty easy. We need you to do that. That would help us a lot. Give online. You can also just give a one-time gift. If you set up recurring giving, you can stop it anytime you want. You can change it, increase it, decrease it. That would help us a lot. Also, you're going to see on the online giving page a new category called COVID-19. And of course, this needs to be above your regular tithes and offerings. We need you to stay faithful to that. But if you'd like to give extra, we'll put it in a fund called COVID-19 to help people. We already have, nobody in our church has tested positive for COVID-19. But we have people that have been displaced because of it. They had to leave where they were living and move into a hotel. So we've reached out to help them as much as we could. This is the sort of thing that this fund will go to. I'm sure there'll be more stuff, people that, you know, need help. So if you're inclined to do that, that's what that extra line there, COVID-19, whatever you give into that, we'll put a fund there to help people in that situation. Let's pray over our offering. Father, I thank you for everybody that's giving. I ask you to give them back 100-fold return. That's what you promised your disciples in Mark chapter 10 and verse 30. So I pray for 100-fold return. I speak your blessing over your people right now. I say they're blessed coming in and going out, in the city and the country, in their home and the field, when they lie down, when they get up. Blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their barn, their bowl. Everything that they have, I command the blessing of God upon them. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they'll condemn with the word of God. They're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They'll lend and not borrow. And all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people. Spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase. Blessings from every direction. Opportunity to help somebody, pray for somebody, and lead someone to Christ this week. In Jesus' name, everybody that agreed that said amen. Push your send button on your computer. All right. I would like to encourage you to invite someone to watch this. In a couple hours, it's going to be on YouTube. Right now, you're watching Facebook Live. There's going to be an edited, a little higher quality picture available in a couple hours on our YouTube channel. You can share that with people. This will also be on Facebook. You can share that with people. Leave your bulletins on the seat right there next to your buttermilk. Next week, we hope to have something for the kids. We're going to work on it this week, see if we can have something online for the kids to join it. Hey, let's stay connected electronically. This too shall pass. Hey, fist bump a couple. Everybody fist bump me. Oh, I feel it. Thank you. God bless you. See you online probably this week, and see you again next Sunday. Love you.